Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Saturday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who's given us opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. And God, for all you that are listening to this broadcast, and once again, doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at, doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are, I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. Those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us. The email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD2MAN@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So, once again, it is Saturday. For those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio, hey, you know what that means. Heart to Heart, Brother Lee and the Handmaidens, and I'll be joining them this day. And thank God for another blessed day and opportunity to bring the gospel to you. So, while we're waiting for my brother to come on, Brother Eddie Lee, as he will be heading this off, once again, I want to take this time to thank God for all you that have been listening over these past 3 years. And I want to say, may the Lord continue to bless you, your family, and your loved ones in Jesus' name. Amen. And for those of you that are first-time listeners, hey, I say welcome. Welcome to another God's Word to Man broadcast on www.blogtalkradio.com. We are grateful to hear from you this day, and we ask for your prayers as we continue to bring the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ unto you, the listener. Amen. So it is a very special day. In Christ Jesus, it is a day, folk, we hadn't seen before, but thank God we've been able to see it, amen? And thank God for being faithful. Now, I've been talking about this past couple of days or so on the broadcast, so started off that, hey, let us look at the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is faithful to answering your requests. I know some of you, once again, it's been difficult, and I understand that you have asked God for something maybe some time ago, and then seem like it hasn't come to pass, but I want you to rest assured that God, number one, is faithful. We have to keep that in mind, that the Word of God tells us that our Lord is faithful, true, he's just. Amen. He's all of that. So you say, well, hey, Brother Nate, what's taking so long? Well, sometimes some things take time. You know, God is a God of timing for his time and for us to be prepared to receive it. You know, sometimes we think we're prepared to receive anything at any time, but not necessarily so. Sometimes we're not in a position like we think we should be to receive. So God permit other things to come about to help us to get in a place of preparing to receive, amen, the answers and the things we stand in need of. And then another reason is we must understand the Bible tells us that, you know, in this during this time that we are waiting for the manifestation of what we ask God for, guess what? Your faith being tried and also your patience being worked. James tells us that in the book of first chapter in the book of James, that, you know, our faith is being tried and our patience is being worked. Amen. You know, we don't talk about patience too much in the church among the body of Christ. We talk about faith, and rightly so, we should, but we also should be talking about patience, okay? We must understand that during the time where you're waiting for the manifestation of what you ask God for, your patience is being worked. Patience is as important as faith. Amen. They're power twins, as I heard one brother say before. And therefore, you notice that when you lose all patience, you know, it messes with your faith. Amen. And when you lose all patience, then when you run and try to run ahead of God and try to do stuff on your own and try to make something happen, amen, then you get in a bunch of trouble. Oh, I know that because I've done that before, people. I've done that before. Many times I had to repent, ask the Lord, forgive me, amen, and got myself into things I got no business, you know, getting into. You know, many of y'all heard my testimony that when I called a psychic back in 93, amen, what was that based on? One of the things it was based on was my patience. I ran out of patience. To me, God was taking too long. So therefore, I'm going to take matters in my own hands and try to give me an answer from somewhere else, a quick answer. That's what I thought. Amen. But I walked into the trap of the enemy, and the enemy put a curse on me. And it was of my own doing, my own fault, okay? And I mean, hey, caused me some problems, people. You know, I mean some problems. I mean, I was on a heavy demonic attack, you know, many times in my home where I was living at. Mostly myself. I had a roommate, but he was at college. He would come home on the weekends. But I was by myself being attacked in the wee hours of the morning by the devil, demonic spirits. Amen. You know, and not fully having no peace. Amen. In the wee hours of the morning, demons is posing as someone else I knew and talking to me. Oh, it was just a world of trouble and problem. And I had to repent and be restored. Amen. Because, see, by me losing patience with God and stepping out and, you know, choosing my own way to go, which went to the devil for help, all right, I opened up a curse to put on me that I had to break. Amen. And what you must understand that it didn't take a bunch of calls. In fact, that I only called one time. And some of you would say, well, if you only called once, but understand this, all it takes is one time. All it takes is one call to give them the firepower whom Satan is using to put a curse on you. Amen. And see, that's what happened for the lack of patience. You know, when we're waiting on the manifestation of whatever we ask God for, in the midst of that waiting, we should be staying in prayer and study of the word. And I think many times that hurt us is that when we're waiting or call ourselves waiting, okay, amen, we don't stay in tune with God. We don't stay in the word. We don't stay in prayer. And so we run around doing everything else, and then when circumstances appears to be greater or getting more intense, then we start shaking and getting nervous, and now we lost out. Because remember, in the midst of your waiting, always keep your connection with God. Keep that in mind. You know, when people say, I'm waiting on the Lord, their version of waiting is doing nothing, okay? No prayer, no study. Tell them I'm waiting on the Lord. They go do other things besides that. And then when the patients run away, because, you know, not by you not being rooted in communion with God, it can't hold up. And now you run ahead of God, you go do other stuff you got no business doing, and now you're in trouble. Amen? And that's what happens when we lose our patience. Amen? Glory to God. I mean, many of y'all seen people who you've dealt with who didn't have patience for things. What do? They become aggressive. They overdo stuff real fast. They go way out of the way and stuff. You've seen that. Well, that's what happens with us when we lose our patience in Christ. Amen? I wasn't intended to go this route. What I'm saying, I don't know why I'm going this route to you all about it, and possibly, you know, the Lord is dealing with me on it to give this message to you. Somebody out there listening, hey, your patience, like, it's wearing thin now. You may be contemplating doing something, quote, about what you ask God for. May give you advice. You better be careful what you're doing. Amen? Because you can't step into the wrong arena. And you're going to make yourself worse than what you thought. Amen? And the devil's right there with open arms saying, come to me, come to me. And you run right in his arms, and then he's going to squeeze you till you hurt. Amen? So, once again, when you are in the midst of waiting for what God promised you, especially concerning a need, hey, stay in communion with God. Study and stay praying, okay? Just because you're waiting on a manifestation of an answer don't mean that you need to stop praying and studying, okay? Some of you all have been doing that all the way up to the time you asked God for something. Now you have just virtually quit, but you're telling people when they ask you about the situation you're waiting on, you say, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. And you think the version of waiting means don't do nothing. And don't do nothing meaning no studying, no praying. That's not what waiting is dealing with. Waiting, you know, is where you are standing still, but you're standing still in prayer and in study of the word. Because you got to remember, that is your communion life with God. And if you break that, then what you have left? Amen. I'm telling you, for those of you who listen, hey, don't worry. It's the manifestation is getting ready to come soon. Just hold on. It's coming soon. But in the meanwhile, while you're holding on, hold on in prayer and hold on and study the word. Whatever you do, don't let anything or anyone take you out of that place of communion with God. No, please, don't let no one do that, okay? Amen. Glory to God. And hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And see, like I said, you know, you'll find out in your walk with God, some things manifest quickly than others, okay? He's a God of timing, okay? And for us to be on his schedule of timing and remain on that schedule, we have to stay in a place with communion with God. Because when you stay in a place with communion of God, it will keep you until the manifestation of the promise. Amen? Oh, my God, it'll keep you. The Holy Ghost will keep you. But remember, you have to do it on your end. You have to keep the communication line open. Spirit of God is not going to force you to stay in communion with God. God is not going to force you to stay in communion with him, okay? Oh, he may talk to you and say, hey, you're not meeting with me, or you're not speaking with me, or you're not getting my word. Yeah, but as far as forcing you to do it, no, God is a gentleman. He's not going to do that, amen? We got to understand that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you have prayed for healing. Keep confessing your healing. Keep in that word. Keep in prayer. Stay in communion with God. Because, see, the devil wants you to break that communion. That's why he's bringing all these temptations and things of that nature while you're waiting for the manifestation. Amen? You know, tempting you to go this way, that way, or north, or south, east, west, anyway, and then telling you, say, God, it's taking too long. Amen? Hey, people, understand. I understand what you're talking about going through. Amen? And sometimes it is a challenge to wait. But I'm telling you this. If you do that in the name of Jesus, in prayer and in study the word, you will be in a position to receive the manifestation of what you ask God for. Amen. So let's keep in mind that he is a faithful God. Amen. No matter what circumstances you're in, no matter what circumstance you're going through, he is a faithful God. Amen. Keep that in mind. Don't forget that. Don't let the enemy bring any suggestions to you that God is anything otherwise. Okay. Because he would tell you in a minute, hey, it's taking too long. You've been waiting, waiting, waiting. What's going on? Oh, he ain't going to do nothing. Okay? Because he doesn't want you to believe in God. You know, if you ever heard the broadcast that me and Brother Robert been doing on Christian Science, you notice that the things that they said about Jesus was the purpose to get you to doubt his deity, his existence, everything about him. That's what not only Christian Science, but all these other religions and cults aim to do. Notice who they always attacking on, Jesus Christ. Why? To get you not to believe in him. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So if I can get you to reject that, then you can't have life. You can't have eternal life. And that's what the devil wants. Remember, Revelation tells us that Satan knows his time is short. Oh, he's not ignorant of this, people. He knows he has a short time. So what is he doing? He's trying to destroy and lead as many souls to hell as he can. Amen. He is on his job consistently. What? When you're laying down sleep, he's not asleep. Okay? Okay? You defeat him in one area, hey, he's looking at what else he can come at you with. Because he knows he had a short time when he would not be able to, quote, do anymore. Amen? And we are told by John in Revelation that, hey, Satan has knowledge of this, okay? Don't think he's in ignorance about his time being short. He knows. So God got that over to him. He knows. Is he going to admit it to you? No. And at many points, we'll get mad at you if you keep bringing it up, okay? Hallelujah. So he knows his time is short, and he's doing all he can in his power to lead all souls, as many as he can, to destruction. Amen. Hallelujah. So I see the Lord doing miracles in this time. I know we've been talking to you about the coronavirus situation and testing things that to come, but even in the midst of this, God is still God, and he's going to do some wonderful things that's going to really capture the eyes of many people, because in this time of trouble and testing, they're going to be wondering, how did you get that? How did you get this? How did you come out of that like that? How come this didn't happen to you? That's another thing that makes the working, miracle-working power of God a miracle. It's a miracle because it's extraordinary. It is something you can't explain with logic. And see, for you listeners listening, during this time of trouble, God wants to and will do something extraordinary in your life. And it's going to be done where it's not going to be here, but it's going to be done. There's some things God's going to do in your life that's going to be seen by others that cause them to wonder, how did you get that? In this trouble like this, I just don't see how you got it. Or in this trouble like this, I don't see how you came out the way you came out. Amen. Why to do that? Well, to get people attention. See, when they start wondering, how do you get it? Now, that's the time for you to testify about Jesus. Amen. Some people have got blessed with miracles. And what has hurted them is that their testimony not filled with Jesus. They talk about, well, I did this and I'm known as that and did that, and then destroy things, okay? Hallelujah. But God is going to do some extraordinary things. He's going to cause some extraordinary events to happen in the midst of all this trouble, people. I'm telling you what I know. Hallelujah. He told me back here a few months ago, hey, this is a great time for him to perform a miracle. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's not, you know, have our minds so focused on this is just a bad time as if to say God can't do anything. Because we tend to tie God around circumstances. And so since we tie him around the circumstances, in our thinking, we think that he can't do nothing because circumstances says that there's nothing like that can be done. You know, you got people thinking that there's no way I can get a financial blessing this time because money is locked up, tight, you name it. You hear now coin shortages. You got a lot of stores putting signs up telling you, say, hey, give the Zach change because we short on coins. You know, they said the coin places, you know, it haven't been putting out. Amen. So I'm going to pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
Shalom. Okay.
Amen.
Yes, sir. God bless. Oh, you're finishing on about the corn. Go ahead, finish.
Oh, I was just telling him, I said, well, some people think that in this time of going through that, you know, they tie God around the circumstance, time we're in now and facing, that it prevents God from being God. That it, you know, we tie him around the circumstances. It's nothing he can do as performing miracles. But this time doesn't change God. He's still God. And brother, I see God doing extraordinary things for his people in this hour. And glory to God. Oh, I know it's a time of testing. I know the things are happening. But I still see God to do extraordinary things in this hour. And just like I was telling about, you know, some people think that, you know, I can't get no financial blessing because, you know, right now because, you know, things is tied up, you know, with the coin situation. Like I said, you got stores now putting up signs saying, hey, give the exact change. I know it is down this way. You know, they putting up there telling you, give the exact change. We short on coins, you know. And, you know, that had been reported in the news quite a few times. The place that, you know, produced the coins because of the coronavirus thing, you know, haven't been producing the coins, so therefore you're having a coin shortage. And that's why your places, like even some of your banks, you know, if you used to go there and get, like, say, $10 worth of quarters, they're telling you, say, hey, you know, we can't give it right. We don't have coins right now. So, but it doesn't change God, brother. It doesn't change God.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you for that little bit of Bitcoin and shortage. And, well, we're grateful today. We honor the Lord Jesus and in recognition of the women of God and the handmaidens around the world and those that are seated in Christ. Thank God. Now, coins and money We're facing, you know, they say a shortage of coins today. Certain places do you have exact this? We don't have a change of coins or something of that nature. Well, you know, they're very shortly, not very far off. We won't be using the money exchange that we use now. So that's giving you a little notice that you're not going to be using the manner of exchange that we are used to call money, coins, or currency, and that we won't be using that very long anyway. There will be another, or has already has been decided, another means of exchange. So the dollar bills and the current, the coins, will not be ready to be used. So it will be a shortage going on. But you know, the thing about this, it's telling us there's going to be a shortage on some other things that's coming up.
Yeah. Amen.
And you might want to look at it for real. There's coming a shortage of many things. Often they call shortages, they call it a lack or a famine of, a lack of, or insufficient. And so we are in dealing with what Amos called a famine of many things that is about to happen. So we might as well shake ourselves that we in the area of famine for many things in this world. And also the prophets spoke about these types of shortages. And one of the greatest shortages that we're about to face in the Western Hemisphere is food and water. So all of you guys out there that are not used to doing without a little food for a couple of days or a day, we might as well get ready to get our bellies to start shrinking, because there's coming a what we call a forced fast on it, a forced fast. Even though you don't want to fast, you're going to be forced called to be without. So now here's one of the great miracles and wonders of the Most High God, is how the Lord is going to preserve his people during these shortages. Hallelujah. This is going to where you're going to see the miraculous, the wonder, super mighty part of God or Yahweh being restoring and bringing the need of his people. And do you know that the example was given when the children of Israel 40 years? 40 years is an example of a generation, they say. The children of Israel were 40 years, but crossing or leaving the slavery and bondage of Egypt, and for 40 years they were provided for miraculously. So we are going to see some mighty, wondrous, and miraculous, supernatural things from the Most High Yahweh and his son Yeshua of provision, supernatural provisions during the days of great shortages in the earth. And so get ready, saints, you're going to have to trust him. Get ready, saints, you're going to have to really trust him. Get ready, saints, you're going to have to really rely upon him. And you are going to get used to crying out to the Most High God, and many of you are going to activate the promises of God concerning our deliverance during these days of famine or shortages. One of the most horrible thing, the most difficult thing is, you can supplement and do many things, but one thing you can't do very long, can't do very long time, and that is called H2O, called water. And you're going to find out how important water. I know a lot of people think wine and cutty salt and Jim Beam and all that other stuff, but just and pop and all that. But the shortage of water, the most precious liquid for the human need, is going, we're going to see in the areas of water shortages. So get yourself ready, shouting saints, because you're gonna have to command some water wells to open up and smite the earth. These are the days of Elijah. What you mean by the days of Elijah? Malachi 4 and Matthew 17 and Matthew's 11. The days of God, but Yahweh, the eternal creator, the maker, and his son Yeshua, revealing the mighty power of deliverance and preservation for his people. Israel was sustained by the miraculous fire by night, cloud by day, and supernatural provision. Hallelujah. All the way. And they, of course, were still rebellious, just like America is today, very rebellious. So we're about to see, Brother Nate, some supernatural God using nature, the nature order of things, to bring people to their knees. And he is going to use one of the things about water and food and the environment to whoop us in line. So,
amen.
He's getting ready to whoop us in line, brother. Cause I don't care how much that alcohol store and that drugs and all that other stuff you're looking at. When you start doing without that water, brother.
Yeah.
When you tell me, I got to fast for 3 days and nothing coming in, that's going to teach you another story about how you're going to have to depend on the living, eternal bread of life.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now,
And you know what, brother, too? I see another lesson that God is showing his people about. You know, we haven't been appropriating wisdom like we should. Even wisdom in natural things like your food. That, you know, because we in the statistic, too. When it talks about America just throwing food away, I sad to say, we're in the statistic too. We're in that 31.9% stuff thrown away. We're in that, okay? And you know, we're wasting things, and it's not just food; it's money and all that. You know, we're wasting it. We're not walking in wisdom. But we're gonna learn, brother. We're gonna learn.
Yes, we've been talking about this for quite a few years, about the Lord warning us and rebuking us about our waste of the blessings
right.
of God. We're just very, very wasteful Americans are.
Amen.
In particular.
Amen.
Because we are, what I call overly blessed. I said we've been overly blessed.
Yeah.
My
Hallelujah.
God, we've been blessed all out of our nose, our ears, our hands. And God has blessed the American, especially the Christian nation, more blessed than any nation on the earth. And I keep reminding people when Isaiah and Genesis and Moses and Isaiah talk about, spoken about America, especially in North America. We have been supernaturally favored and blessed above every nation on the earth. Do you understand why you in the most blessed nation or was in the most blessed nation? That on the whole earth, and Jerusalem used to be, and he hasn't forgotten about Jerusalem, about restoring Jerusalem in a lot of days. But the nation we call the Americas, in the spectrum of the hemisphere we call North America, the land of bounty, is spoken in the holy prophets, maybe 10, 11, 13 times. We born here, Brother Nate. Now look at this. God ordained that you and I was born in the latter days in the most blessed and favorite nation on the whole earth. The prophets declare it. Oh, and I'm so grateful that the Lord didn't plant me in Russia or China or Saudi Arabia or I don't know, one of them way off nations. My God, because they're suffering a lot in those lands. But the Lord ordained before the foundation of the world, that Brother Nate, in the last days, going to be birthed here on this great land called Zion, and said, Brother Lee, this one, Lee, I'm going to let you be born in the latter days on time for my divine purpose in the greatest land, the blessed land, the most favored land, the choice land above all lands, the Americas, North America, the land of beauty, the Christian nation that used to be. And so I'm going to rejoice that the Lord knows exactly what he's doing at this hour. He calls us to be born. He calls us to be birthed. No coincidence, no luck, no gambling, no rolling, no dice. He knew exactly what he was doing when he told Jeremiah, I know of the thoughts that you have, but I ordained you in your mother's womb to be born over there in Jerusalem. But I'm so glad I wasn't born in Jerusalem, brother. I'm glad I was born in Zion. I don't know about you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I know. Thank you, Jesus. We were here and we were planted here. As a black Afro-American, we are often called black Afro-Americans. That's how we identify. But it goes beyond. The Bible refers to us with that. We don't identify with Africa. There is a continent later on, what we call Africa, but that's a modern-day name. But the Lord refers to us as a seed in a certain land. And our seed is planted in the tribe of Joseph and Simeon. Hallelujah. So I just want to let us know that the Lord got great, great plans for us being planted in this nation called the Americas. Now, our greatness in the latter days seemed to be centered around economics. Now, I kind of disagree with that. Even though we have been the most blessed, choice land with many minerals and substance, that's not our greatness. I know there's a political party he's calling, I'll make America great again. He's talking about material stuff. Material stuff don't make you the greatness in the sight of God. And get that straight now. Material part of the economy is a blessing and can be a great blessing, but that's not the key point of a nation being favored just because of its wealth. There's another type of wealth. I said there's another type of riches, another inheritance that's above that. Can you get that now? Do we get it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have gone money crazy in the Western world. I mean, greedy, nutty, crazy. Anything to get that buck. They do anything to you, and I'll cheat you, rob you. America is one of the most favored, blessed, first place that is blessed. America, in the book of Micah and Isaiah and the Psalms and in Genesis and talking about this land in the latter day. And we are to bless many nations. So America has been used to bless many nations. Now, but she has made a fatal mistake. She did the same thing ancient Israel. She has forsaken her God, forsaken her maker, her deliverer. America has forsaken. That's why all this mess, this junk, this confusion, the devil jumping up and down like he's crazy, causing all this confusion, and we fall in for this ASAP junk. They're up there fighting in the White House, fighting in the party, fighting in the political party, falling into the hands of the devil, just calling every day, calling one of them names, mudslinging, condemning, strife, bitterness, and anger coming out of the White House, coming out of the government, coming out of the Republicans and the Democrats, the progressives. All of them need to be repent. All of them need to fall down and turn from the idolatry and call on the Lord Jesus and be delivered from this present evil. Still there, brother?
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Yes,
sir. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And the Church of Christ, we are part of the last day move of the Lord called the Elijah message, which is mean like the living God to restore all things, the book of Acts, restoration. The Church of Christ, part of the kingdom of God established in these last days, should be the leading in the world affairs, in the government, in every area. But we are not yet, because he hasn't got a people yet.
Amen.
Did you get that?
Amen.
Did you get that? Okay.
Amen.
Well, when he get this people, this remnant of people, the nation is going to know about the Church of Christ with Elijah Message. When he get this people, this dedicated people, this called out, consecrated, committed people, the whole nations and kings going to bow and know about the work of Elijah and the Elijah message and Elijah ministry in these last days. But he haven't got the people yet. Even after 100 years, he still haven't got a people yet. Hallelujah. There's people that, you know, that love the Lord, but they have not taken the mantle of Elijah, the calling, very seriously. But he's going to get a people, brother, because the Lord God, even the creator and the maker, has planned and preserved a people that will take this last day witness and message of the kingdom to all nations. And the Church of Christ is going to be the forefront. But he got to get this qualified, prepared people yet. He hasn't got it yet. I say he hasn't got this qualified, prepared people yet. Do
Amen.
I hear any bricks coming? Did I get any bricks?
Yeah, it's coming. That's coming. Not the potato, not the letters this time, but the bricks, brother.
But let me, I can use those bricks, brother, because there's going to be a shortage on bricks. So, you know, praise the Lord. I'm going to need that bricks to build that wall and build that house and build that thing. So, amen. I do it with the love of God. All right, then. Why is the last call, Matthew 25, is Elijah, what we call the restoration. And this is what the restoration consider, the four R's: redemption complete, recovery, reconciliation, and restoration all. Now, biblical truth and principle concerning reconciliation and restitution, we've seen tips of it around the world. We've seen things around the report, around many nations coming forward, being not only redeemed, but coming to an area of restoration. Because, see, Jesus is coming, and he's going to restore the earth and bring about the millennial reign. He's going to rule and reign over the earth, and he's going to reign with the prepared bride. The bride is going to be the government over the earth. Because when he said when he was born, his government shall be no end. His government, God is about to establish his government, the kingdom, where the bride is going to be the governing ruler over the nations and over the earth during the 1,000-year reign when Jesus comes back. Hallelujah. So now we're getting tip out that this world must fall and fail. And we're looking in all the prophets of Isaiah, Hosea, Amos, Jeremiah, Genesis, talks about the fall of the human race and government coming to an end. That's what it means, coming to an end. And we're about to see the first day of the kingdom rule, which is called the 1,000-day, the seventh day. It's about, and listen, this is what Jesus come preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And the euphemism is used, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus told us to pray. And he left this prayer with his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven. That's a revelatory truth prayer. Telling us how we should pray and what we should pray about. And the latter part said, thy kingdom come. Pray that thy kingdom come on earth as it just like it is in heaven. Just like in heaven. Now, the message of the last days, Matthew 24, he said the gospel of the kingdom must go to the end of the world. So now, the gospel of the kingdom has not went to the whole world, so Jesus cannot come tomorrow. So I'm sorry to disappoint you. Jesus cannot come next year. And the
Amen.
Scriptures tell you, the scripture are very, you have to look at the complexity, the completeness of the scriptures. No, Jesus is not coming next year. Okay, this is absolutely very clear about the signs, what the Bible says, because unless these things be fulfilled, Christ cannot come. I said, unless
Amen.
These things, four things, at least four major things has to take place before Christ can come back to this earth again. And I know people say he can come in a moment. No, I'm sorry, I can't agree with that. You may die and leave, but Christ ain't no come, is not coming on any moment. I can kind of scripturally say that that's not accurate. Hallelujah. Christ Jesus
Amen.
Cannot come next year. Christ can't come next year. I know he can shorten the days concerning the judgment. He said, I'll shorten the days. He'll cut that war short, at least so the elect will be saved. That's shorting the time of that destruction, that judgment, when that atomic war going to hit the earth. Now, he talks about that atomic war, that nuclear war that's coming upon the earth. Now, I know a lot of people don't want to talk about this side. They want to talk about sugar and peaches, and they don't want to know about the whole plan of God, and they want to know about, can I get some more lemonade? And God's going to bless me with 2 gallons of lemonade. It's going to give me 4 coats. Okay, this is, you know, good. Okay, now this is the time that brother that we are to inherit the spoils of the Gentile. Isaiah 60 and. Talking about inheriting the wealth of the wicked, because we have to use this money to use it for the gospel of the kingdom. Now, this is why this is why the wealth that blessed by God, not by Las Vegas and Atlanta and the Bahamas, not talking about, but the Lord's going to reverse that, take it out of the hand of the devil and out of the ungodly, and is going to give it over into the hands of the kingdom people. Not to buy no more for a coast, but to plant the kingdom, the message of the kingdom of hope and deliverance in every nation. So that, like, Brother Nate, if he wants you to go and establish over there in Samaria and in Syria, then you're going to have not only the money and means to move and take and go forward.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. Did we get that? Do we get there? There's become a wealth change. And we're going to be more blessed in wealth in many areas for the gospel's sake, for the kingdom of God's sake, for the message to take that the sons of God, the redeemer of the Lord, to take their place in the earth and remove the evil and the wicked one. So wealth. I'm not talking about this kind of wealth prosperity that they're talking about in these churches. Now, I'm not going to get into that. That's not what the Lord's talking about. That's not exactly what he's talking about. There's a lot of scam going on. I'm saying
Amen.
There's a lot of scamming going on. Okay? Out of proportion, a message about prosperity that's being manipulated by Christians and by many ministers being manipulating. But I'm talking about the real transfer of God's wealth in the hand of the righteous with the vision of the kingdom of God. Okay?
Amen.
All right, where are we
Amen.
At, brother? Where is the handmaidens at so they can get started today in declaring what the Lord, the creator, the maker, the one that's called the bread of life, where's the handmaidens? Because there's a lot of women around the world, a lot of sisters, a lot of handmaidens are needing the message of hope and courage that need to convey. So we got two great women who have very courageous and bold to take that stand. And I commend these two women, Sister Little Lady Allison, a pioneer of the faith, and Sister Helen Teagle, a bold, faithful strong advocate of both of these women to stand up in this hour. Now, God ordained other women to be with them, but they have not been able to overcome their fears yet. But
Amen.
Maybe the Lord is, they're going to shake them loose to overcome their fears and their traditions. But there are other women that's supposed to be with them who are afraid and fearful. But that's all right, Sister Allison and Sister Helen. After a while, at the Baptist, you say, in the Baptist, you say, after a while, brother, after a while.
Amen.
After a while.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. So you are the vanguard, the two women. You are the vanguard. You are the leaders. You're the pioneer. The Lord has chosen to stand up and not without fear to declare your place in the kingdom and declare the will of God on this radio. And the Lord has chosen you handmaids. He's chosen other people, but you are the two that are able, that the Lord has preserved to deliver, to have a voice in the wilderness these last days. There are other ones that we have to pray through and ask for victory so they can take their place and be free to be a voice crying in the wilderness in these last days. Okay? So.
Amen. We'll give him a few minutes. Praise be to God. Okay, sisters and brother calling on you, so I give them a few minutes, and I look for them to be all.
Yes, these are the courageous women of the hour. And we have had many, many great handmaidens given us back 15, 20 years. We can name some of the great women that the Lord has included, like, talk about the most momentous great women, missionary women that has been with us, especially those in Chicago. And the Chicago has produced some of the greatest women. That's kind of prideful, but I got to tell it like it is, brother. I'm sorry. We have grateful to have many women in the Church of Christ, Elijah Message, but quite a few. Well, I ain't going to say a whole lot, but we had some. And all of them we loved. I'm sure most of them love the Lord. But as far as standing
Amen.
Forth in faith, we've had women like Mother Dees, Mother Crockett, Sister Clark, Sister Lester, Sister Curry, Mother Cage, Mother Gillespie, Sister Elaine, Cynthia Rogers, Terry Cox, courageous woman, just monumental, courageous women of faith. We still have Sister Mary, one of the oldest ones, still hanging tough, and we're grateful for her faith and dedication. But we'll have some courageous women of faith and power and daring, courage, like Mother Clark, our voice, Mother Crock, and Mother Dees. I mean, and now we have two great women that God has preserved, handmaidens, Sister Lutleen Anderson and Sister Helen Teagle. Sister Helen,
yes.
There's a couple more that's coming for. That's
Amen.
Coming. The Lord's going to
let
do.
Us,
that's coming for. All right.
Let us welcome. God bless you, Sister Anderson. How you doing?
I'm blessed, brothers. God bless you all. God bless you. Now, I was listening to the conversation and thank God for it. And I also thank God, not just for the women, but I thank God for the men, too, that paved the way for me. Brother Clark, Brother Crockett, Brother Lee, Brother Nate, I thank God for the men that have paved the way for me.
Yes, we have a few men. But I greatly commend the women because the women had to overcome quite just as much as the women in the work of God, too. And so the wives, they had the place as wives and mothers and the men as fathers and also leaders in every area. So we commend the whole body, especially the women today. We're speaking to all the handmaidens around the earth. I think the women and the wives and the people, women and all the earth need a lot of other women ministering to them. And I think it's a good thing that God has put us on this broadcast. Block told Brother Nate and Sister.
Yes.
This, by you all standing forth, this is broadcast that's going to go into all the world.
Yep.
Amen.
Okay, it's
Amen.
going to expand.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
It's going to enlarge.
It's going to be an explosion.
It's going to peak, and the Elijah message is going to be revealed and manifested by the power and the conviction, like it was Elijah, the prophet of old. He's going to be explosion, a miraculous, wondrous things through the women and men that who are courageous and bold enough to stand up in this last hour. And God's going to give great anointing and great power and great victory upon those that defend the last day's message of the Elijah restoration gospel. So I'm looking for the spirit and power of Elijah to be poured out in great measure.
My Lord.
I'm expecting for a dynamic, as you said, explosion, a mighty explosion, as is was on the day of Pentecost. But it's going to be greater than the day of Pentecost. I said it's going to be greater than the first Pentecost. I said it's going to be greater than the first Pentecost. I said it's going to be mightier than the great Pentecost.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Let's welcome on Sister Helen, too. God bless you, Sister Helen. How you doing?
God bless. Amen. Doing good.
Amen. God bless you.
Shalom.
Amen.
Okay, this is your time. Dear sisters, we open the gate for you to minister to the women of the world.
Amen, amen. I was just thinking, and I praise the Lord. And I just would that, you know, anyone that have heard of this Elijah message or listened to the Blog Talk Radio broadcast, you know, the Lord has given me, I've been getting in the Word and really seeking Him, and I really want to be part of that explosion that's going to be, you know, coming forth. And I just think and I praise the Lord. And He's given me, you know, that I have been praying that the Lord water the places where the people have heard the Word but not received it, not taken it unto themselves. So it's my prayer, as the Lord gave it to me, that pray that He would water that soil where that word has gone and the people have not received it. Because time going to come when they're going to be wanting to. And for the women, I just, you know, I thank and I praise the Lord for the women, the ones that are going for being persecuted for the gospel, for the word's sake. You know, I stand in the gap for you. I stand in the gap and I pray for you. And for the women that have confessed the name of Christ Jesus, you know, I'm not talking about what church that you are in, but have truly, honestly from your heart and repented and accepted the Lord Christ Jesus. I'm standing with you. I'm standing with you. Come all the way. Come all the way and receive. What Matthew is talking about that midnight cry, come all the way and receive, because the time is coming where we're going to need it. And women, I would say, let's band together, because, you know, the Lord has given it to me. When one hurts, we all hurt. So women, let's band together. Band together and go forth in the power of He give us the power of Elijah, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said He's given us the authority that we can bind that strong man, that we can tramp over that devil. Women, let's bind together and tramp over that devil, because we need to bind together. First of all, we need to bind together and draw nigh, and we need to bind together for the children. We need to bind together for these children, because the devil is trying to take our children. And that is my prayer. I pray that the Lord will water the places where this word have gone and the people have not received it. Because I tell you, people's hearts are getting hard. It's getting hard. They do not want to receive this word. And we know that it's just the enemy. It is the enemy. And I thank God for different words and different things that He's been giving to me.
Amen. Amen. I thank the Lord Jesus for the word, for the conversation that have went forward on tonight. And I also reach out and encourage the women, you know, to come forth and prepare and do the work that the Lord have called us to. You know, even as He spoke to Jeremiah, and He was telling Jeremiah to consider ye and call for the women, and you know that they might come. And that they might take up a weeping and a wailing and a lamentation before the Lord. And he said that where our eyes may go forth with tears. And he calling for us to come forth and be those intercessor prayer warriors, you know, that he is calling, you know, in this last day.
Yeah.
And, you know, and concerning the children, you know, that's out here, and, you know, they are really hurting. And they only doing what they are being taught to do and what they is seeing. And, you know, and we have to cry mighty to the Lord, you know, for them, you know, and for their parents, you know, that when the word of God goes to them, you know, that they will be able to receive. And, you know, and I truly thank the Lord, you know, what he even have allowed me to do, you know, amongst the children, you know, at the Boys and Girls Club. And I thank the Lord, you know, for that. And I ask everyone to just continue, you know, to pray for them. Pray for our young people, you know. And, you know, because it is so much that's going on amongst them, so much peer pressure, you know, amongst them. And I thank the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
There's a voice that's crying out for the nations of the earth. And that voice, in particular, hinges on a lot of the women in the body of Christ. And I want to say to the women and the wives, I want to say to the mothers, whether they be in Mexico, Afghanistan, whether they be in Iran, the women and the mothers and the wives who are left alone to raise the children. And I want to bless the mothers who are taking their serious role as mothers, and the wives who are helping their husbands and backing it up and being a backbone to the home and to raising the children as the next generation. I commend the women in these parts in Africa that have to endure much, in Mexico, in the Philippines, in the Indonesia, or in Venezuela. All of the women and the wives, they have to be double duty wives and ministers to the need of people who are sick, the orphans, the widows, the medical missionaries. I want to commend the women who are medical missionaries who go and have to minister to their home and then go and minister to others. I want also minister to the women who are teaching the kids and teaching the young people about preparing for life and being ready for life. The teachers in particular, especially the teachers that being overlooked, and they are the backbone of a nation, teaching children, bringing them up and teaching them how to be men and women, skilled, professional men and women for the next generation. And I thank God for the women that leave their home and go to other nations who are ministering to hunger and that privation of a nation. I thank God just for the mothers, that being real mothers, putting their children and their husbands first, that are taking care of their husband duties and taking care of their children in their homes and raising them, preparing them. So I just want to commend those, especially our mothers who are crying out in other nations. And as we go along, there is going to be a door open where a woman would have a vision for the nations and for the women in other nations to connect with and band together as one band to be a blessing in the world. And I thank God that there are going to be visionary women as visionary men to enlarge our vision to our other women in other nations who are suffering, to find what they call camaraderie together to be helped and bless their nation, bless their home. Because we are blessed here in many ways that we can help many other women are in many other nations. So my heart goes out to the orphans, to the women who have lost their husbands, and they got to raise the children all by themselves and raise up the male children, female in these nations, and many of them are hungry. And from day to day, I pray for Haiti, all of those children who have to go to the garbage dump for food every day. I pray for the Indonesian and India and certain parts of Africa. The women, they are bold and courageous women. I commend them in these nations. In many ways, they have to be bold and courageous in many nations, more courageous, bold than the women here. I don't put the women down here. They're great women. But the women in other nations have to endure much more than what the women have to do here. We got it easy here. We're comfortable here. So we should consider about the women in other nations, especially the Christian women and the non-Christian women. We should think about the mothers trying to feed their children, don't have milk to feed in certain nations. We should open ourselves up to God to help us to reach out to other people with great need. That's what the gospel does. So I just, I don't know what you're aware of this. Do you know how many children wind up missing in a month's time around America and around the world? How many children wind up missing? We're not aware. Because, you know why we're not aware? Because our children is maybe not so what missing in many areas. Many of them will be going astray and rebellious, but I'm talking about missing and never see them again. There are thousands of missing children every year.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this again. To the women who have a great responsibility, and the men, sometimes men are not, don't want to be men. Some of them don't want to be husbands. Some of them want to be fathers, even though we have many that do. The women have to take up the slack. Now, because they had to go double duty, mother and father. Many of them don't have husbands, don't have fathers, so they have to go. I commend these women who take up their responsibility as real mothers and real fathers. I'm not talking about these modern-day, modern-day women who don't care about their children. All they care about is a good time, trying to get a man and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about real mothers dedicated to love of their family and their children. When there's a man who forsaken his duties, and they have to take up the call. So I commend them and pray for them that they be a guardian of the faith of their children, because we are the guardian of the faith of our children, the legacy of our children for the next generation. And that's a great call. Motherhood and being a wife is a great call. It's one of the greatest calls in Scripture, being a wife and a mother. That's why Jeremiah said, call for the cunning women.
Amen. Yes,
Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Call them. Let them come.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes.
He has said to the Elijah Message Church, let the women go free.
Yes, Lord,
and let
Jesus.
Them take their place.
Yes,
stop
Lord.
Holding them back. Shata kapa.
Yes, Lord.
Let them take a place in the kingdom. That the Holy Spirit may reveal his work to make the body complete. Without the whole body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians, without the whole body of the Christ taking its place, there's going to be something missing. So therefore, let everyone that has assignment in the body of Christ train, teach them, and loose them that may fill the gap. And one of the things that the women, many churches are not allowed, and then some are taken too far a step. Some of them go beyond what God ordained them to do. But we're not going to stop just because some people overdo stuff. And but there is a great need to fill this hour. And we need all hands on deck. Women, men, young, old, we need all hands on deck. So I'm saying, whatever the Holy Ghost, you know, if you got a covering, you got a husband, consult your husband. Don't overlook your husband if you're married. You are subject under covenant to your husband. You are subject to the pastor who's happened to be over you, as long as he's over you. Learn to be subject to authority, right authority, to governing right authority. Your husband always has to be respected. If you're a husband and you got to work with women, you got to respect your husband. You got to regard that person. Then you got to regard if you got somebody spiritually over you, whether they are whoever they may be, give them regard in the things of God about direction and covering your life. When God puts something on you, you're always going to go respect to your husband. Husband, what do you think about this? Is it okay with you? You're going to go to your elder or the pastor and say, what is your vision? What are your rule on this? I'm going to respect you and see what you have to say about this, because that's God's way, called protocol, right, orderly way. That's the way the Lord laid down stuff. And he keeps order. A spotless, spiritually order concerning the head. And so women, if you got a call, remember if you got a husband. And some husbands are not saved, of course, and some are not redeemed and don't see the way, but you still got to get them respect because you took them to be your head in the home and in life. Now, you got a spiritual head in the church, and the spiritual head got to respect your husband, but first got to respect the order of God in Christ. That means that even though you got all these authoritative figures, Jesus Christ must come first in your life. No matter what authoritative figure you have in it, Jesus as Lord must come first in your life. And therefore, when you hear Mother Crockett sing that song, will you let anything separate you from the love of God in Christ? Will you let anybody separate you from the love? That means you can't let any human being separate you from the love of God in Christ. Not even husband, not children, not business, not president, not governors, not anybody.
Amen.
When it comes to your relationship with God. Now,
amen.
Don't get big-headed, women. When God starts speaking to you and showing you visions and dreams and revelation, you're not bigger than your husband. No, you're not bigger than your elder or your covering. Now, God may give you to be a blessing to them and helper to them and even a strengthen to them and even a helper to them. But don't let your head blow up.
Amen.
Amen. If you got children, take care of your children. Take care of your husband.
Amen.
If you can't take care of your husband and your children, you can't take care of the business of God.
That's right.
Amen.
If you can't, now your husband may be an alcoholic and a drug addict, and you don't have to submit to him killing you. I'm not talking about that you can sit there and let him kill you or nothing like that. That's up to the individual to choose how, if he's going to, you know, individual women. There are women in many nations who are under different rules. There are women in many nations that are under a different rule than we are.
Yes.
They have a different cultural rule about marriage, about life, about their place. They're different. That's why I tell women, please stop thinking American. Still think about the gospel of the kingdom is for all nations.
Amen.
So get in contact with other nations and nationality. Stop thinking American. The call is beyond the America.
Yes.
Okay? Thank you, Jesus. The Church of Christ is supposed to be in the place where we are supposed to be communicating with all nations now, by phone, by Instagram, by radio, by missionaries, by everything. There's supposed to be a women network, networking with women around the world. There's a be a intercessor necessary. There is a warrior necessary. There is a training network that people are engaged in, training people out about the principles of the gospel of Christ, and telling people what the plan of God is. We should be a network. There should be a spiritual warfare network that's networked with women around the world. It's called spiritual warfare, the intercession network. There should be a network about medical and school needs and children and orphans and widows. All this is the enlargement of the vision of God, and he's raising up women to do this. So I would say this to you, two women.
Jesus.
Hold your post and move forward. God bless you now. These are my words to you and to my sisters and brothers in Mexico, Brazil, Venezuela, whether you're in Rome, whether you're in France, whether you're in Syria, Indonesia, Lord's going to open the way for the breakthrough for us to connect with all these women and men in other nations, for they are our brothers in waiting.
Yes.
Amen. So gear up yourself.
Thank you.
So, sister, like Sister Helen, he put up on you many, many networks upon you. I noticed that the other women before us, like Sister Clark and Mother, we had all kind of women with different types and a spiritual network on them. They were bold. And I want to commend you for boldness and courage, because it takes boldness and courage to stand out. I want to commend all the mothers and wives that take care of their husband and be a good wife and a good mother and a good business person and a good helper to children. We need to reach out to children. I've been telling you for the last 10, 12 children, the Lord is going to raise up an army of children. I've been telling you by the last 20 years that he's going to raise up an army of children. The devil is cutting off the children. He wants to destroy the children, put them in prison, put them on drugs, put them on gangs. He wants to put them where the children don't have a father figure in their life. This is the Satan strategy. He don't want a father figure in these children's lives. You know that. You know why?
Yeah.
Most people, this is why you got to study and tell people why the devil do not want the children be under a father, a good father, a excellent father, a caring father. You got to understand why the devil don't want men child to be have a father, a real father.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about just about no boyfriend and no pimp. I'm talking about a father.
Amen.
You must understand the spiritual covenant, why the devil do not want the children under a covenant of a father, a husband. A lot of people don't know why the devil want all these single moms having no husband and no father. This is the strategy of Satan. That's why people don't respect marriage. Oh, we don't got to get married. We ain't got to get married. We all good for sugar, baby. We all sugar, babe. Yeah. Okay, sugar, babe. Okay. Sugar. Yeah. Listen, all right, you young man, I'm praying that God get that pimp spirit off of you. Lord, I bind that pimp spirit, that irresponsible spirit upon some of the young men who are not trained to be fathers and the leaders, and they have a pimp spirit, and they have a manipulating spirit because they weren't trained and taught. Break that pimping spirit off of them and draw that man spirit to be a man, to be a real father, a leader. Find that pimp spirit, that selfish, manipulating pimp spirit that the devil has placed to deliver them from that pimp, that pimping devil in Jesus' name. We need men, real men, godly men, excellent men, strong men, loving men, caring, compassionate men, men to train the children and be fathers to them. Lord, we need men. Elijah says that there's going to be a curse in the land. No father, no spiritual father, as well as natural father. But in his coming, this curse is going to come. This is a curse because the children don't have spiritual fathers, often don't have natural fathers. This is a curse of the devil. And this is why a lot of this black-on-black crime is in the black neighborhood, no real fathers.
Amen.
Now, you know I ain't scared to tell it.
Amen.
Anyway, the truth.
You just have to call me all the names you want, because I got ducks. I'm like a duck. It's going to roll off, baby.
Amen.
Amen. I ain't got no better sense to cry out and tell you that these men, these children need real men and women and mothers, spirits and fathers in their lives.
Amen.
And then they have to have surrogates. That's why many of you are going to be surrogates. You're going to have to be mothers to other people's children that don't know how to be mothers. You're going to have to be fathers to other children that don't have a real father. We all going to have to find out what it means to be surrogate fathers and mothers.
Amen.
Some people, let me say this. In some churches, they can't see beyond their borders.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean by that? Somebody, I know we got about a few minutes. Yeah. But do you know what that means? Some churches, Christian churches and works, and they can't see beyond their borders. Do you understand? Anybody, do you understand what I'm saying? Anybody understand what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Tell me, talk up, tell me if you think you understand what I'm talking about.
supporters of denomination is.
It's just like, you know, they might not be your children, but then you have to take them on, you know, just like they're your own children.
Okay, great. All right, okay. Go ahead, beloved.
Some churches are set up, and the way that they're set up and their rules and their regulations, they will not go beyond that. They will not go beyond that. And it's like that's the way it is. And so they will not, even a child that's that needs a father figure or whatever, because of their rules and their regulations, they will not step out.
Okay. Brother, you have something?
I said many of them don't see beyond their borders of denominationalism, you know, of their denomination.
Okay. There are many, many people, groups, cultures in this world, and that's both natural, spiritual, political, government. They cannot or will not go beyond their borders of their vision. And it all has to do with culture, race, politics, and religious belief. In every part of the world, there's a government cultural class about each group, each race, and many of them can't see beyond the borders of their own community or their own group or their own concern, personal concerns. They can't see beyond their personal concerns. There even it goes all the way into the religious world. But it's not just a religious world. See, I'm not just talking about church. I'm talking about borders of people and groups, whether it's race, culture, class, government, community. Your both will see it's in a religious community, but I see it in every area. Because how people are trained and taught and raised in their biblical culture about race. And a lot of it has to do with race and politics and culture. And so we, the kingdom of God, has to break this barrier and go beyond this barrier. Some churches mm-hmm. cannot even see beyond that backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't
yeah.
approach people and other cultures. They just stay in their own little circle. I'm safe right here. I'm the church of this. Or I'm this little community or group over here. But I thank God for that they do. But they can't see beyond because of how they've been taught, trained, and raised. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, is for to teach people to knock down these walls of race, political, and governmental, and culture and class distinction.
Yeah.
Blacks, Chinese, Indians, and religious area, Presbyterian got their little stuff, Methodist got their little walls, and Church of Christ with Elijah Smith got their little walls, and the organized and all these people got these little walls around them, and they don't move beyond that. They can't see beyond that. But the vision is to the whole world, Brother Nate. The vision is to the ends of the earth. Do you get it? The gospel of Christ, I'm talking about the gospel of the kingdom, is to the whole world, in every culture, every nation, every class, everything. That's why when I talk to people, when I go different places, I don't care what race they are, what denomination they is, I don't let that get in my way about the kingdom.
Amen.
We can't associate with that little group over here. Or we can't talk that little race down the hill. We can't go to that community. That all that demonic stuff has got to be broken. Because that's a lot of man-made and a lot of demonic stuff. And it's controlling churches, nations, cultures, and governments. And the intercessor, you know why the women is so important, why he called them? Because the women that have a particular task, certain women are called to break down these barriers, sister. They're to tear down these walls. Do you understand
Amen.
That?
Amen.
So I thought I'd just give you a little hint when I said they can't see beyond their borders or their vision cannot see beyond.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And you all are, and your training is learning how to go beyond the borders of the wall. And your vision has to be kingdom vision. Kingdom vision. Kingdom of God vision. And
Amen.
Revelation.
Okay? Amen.
Those
Amen.
Children that are not your children, you
uh-huh.
that's why you have that mother instinct, sister. You're giving that surrogate mother to reach out to children just like they're your own children.
Amen.
You have that same care and that compassion. You don't let that limit you because you got children. Well, I just have my own children, you know. That's it. I'm going to pray for my own children. That's it. No. The vision of the mm-hmm. kingdom of God, that you see these other children that God
uh-huh.
put in your way.
Amen.
Yeah.
You
Amen.
See these mothers. You see these mothers
uh-huh.
struggling in their home.
Yeah.
You
mm-hmm.
see the you see the schools, the teachers struggling with some things to help
yeah.
the children.
Yeah.
And you're placed right there to reach out to them. You don't just say, "Well, I go to Church of Christ Elijah Minister. I can't do this. I don't know. So I just go over this bit." No, because the God vision in you, the God's compassion, the kingdom vision is stirred up in you.
Amen.
And you start reaching out as a surrogate, a mentor. So that's what I mean. That's what I'm getting at. Okay. I hope that make it a little so you know the vision of the kingdom. Why he said call for the cunning women, call for the praying women, call for the fasting women, call for the weaker than mourning. Okay. That's
Amen.
What he says.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank
you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And I close
Amen.
This. The angel messengers have spoken to several appointed places because the whole body of Christ is not being utilized.
Yeah.
Okay. This includes mother, just being a mother to the home, how to be a missionary to your own home. You know, the first your missionary is to your own home
Amen.
And to your own husband and your own children.
Mm-hmm.
Then
mm-hmm.
it goes on and on and on.
Uh-huh.
But until
Amen.
You can be a missionary to your own husband and your own children and your own family, you can't be a mission to the world.
Amen.
Amen.
That's true.
Until you learn that.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Going
Amen.
Beyond the vision is beyond your set borders, traditions, man-made teaching. Hold the church world down. There are women in the Church of Christ, Elijah Method, there are things that God has put in them inside the Holy Ghost in them that's boiling over, but they can't release it.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
My name is Brother Lee. I take all bricks and stones and rebukes and chastenings and corrections and prayers.
My Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
If you want to correct me, you want to rebuke me, chasten me, I can take it. All right, we are glad for this hour of the preparing to reach the women of the world, and God raising up surrogate mothers and missionaries and visionaries, and we thank God for the two women. I commend you. The Bible said, "Good honor to you, women that stood up to the plate." I really appreciate it. I know Brother Nate appreciate it, right, Brother Nate?
Amen. Amen. Most definitely. Thank God
Amen.
For the women, the sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank God Amen. For this opportunity that he has given us to give the gospel over these airways. Thank God for all of you that have been listening to us on Blog Talk Radio over these past 3 years. Truly indeed has been a blessing of the Lord. And may the Lord continue to bless you, your family, and your loved ones. And don't forget, tomorrow night, we'll be back again. God's Word Man broadcast. We will be talking about the persecution to come, part two. Brother Robert Gross will be joining me. So, therefore, look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. tomorrow night. And don't forget, Monday, Brother Emmanuel Murphy should be coming on with a broadcast. Tune in for that advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. as well. So, once again, we thank God for all you that have been listening. As for Brother Lee, Brother Nate, Sister Anderson, Sister Teague, God bless you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.
Amen.
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 Change me, oh God. Make me more.